in the parsha, at the end of the story of the Akedah, after Hashem surprises Avraham by telling him not to sacrifice his son, Avraham receives a blessing that your children should be kekofbe Hashemayim v'kachol asher al sfas hayam. Your children should be numerous, a multitude, excuse me, so great in number that they are like the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. And the Farshim are bothered, troubled, why did Hashem choose God for these two images out of everything? When I say there's many as the grass growing from the field, or as many as the raindrops in a storm, there's so many things of multitude. Part of God's Rav would choose sand and stars. So those that suggest, and there's a lot to it, that if Am Yisrael is successful, will be impossible to reach. They'll be up in the sky, they'll be flying, they'll be great, they'll be good, but their enemies can't reach them, they'll be successful. However, if not, devil, if Am Yisrael is not Roman, not committed to Torah mitzvahs, and not the Shomer Torah and Halacha, well then they'll be to the, like the dirt and the dust on the ground, the sand, and people will walk on them, and etc. It could be. That's a very nice drash, but I heard something else that I liked. I think I heard the name of the Nitziv. I looked it up, I'm not sure if that's what he meant. I spoke to Hell and he said it's one of the names of the Rebbe as well. But whoever says it really is developing for the purpose right now. I heard a beautiful, beautiful interpretation, which is stars, each one shines on its own. Each one's an individual. Each one stands on its own. Each one looks by itself beautiful. If you see one star, be an unbelievable thing. They're huge, but they look small when they're together. But each one by itself is a real koach, a real star, so to speak. Each person is a real star. Each star is huge, and when they're together, they look small, but they stand out as individuals. Sand, by contrast, has no individuality. No one sells grains of sand. No one picks up grains of sand. There's no plural word for sand in English or in Hebrew. Sand is, by definition, a unit. A unit. It's united. It's one. And it could be a Kadosh Baruch Hu is illustrating or driving home a different message. One that balances between collectivism and individuality. On one hand, a person to be an individual, to think for himself, and to act for himself, and to be by himself, to grow, free will, free thought, almost boundless, free thinking, on one hand. And on the other hand, I won't say conformity, that's too strong of a word, but a sense of collectivism, feeling part of a team, feeling part of a unit, feeling part of Am Yisrael, feeling part of a community, feeling part of this world. Sometimes you find people who their only goal is to stand out, to look different, to be different. Doesn't matter who they are, I know who I'm not. I'm not anyone else. They end up dressing crazy, funky color hair, who knows what. But the goal is, I am not. I'm an individual. I may look like a freak to everyone, or at least I don't look like everyone. That's one extreme. The other extreme is, my only goal is to blend in. I dress like they dress, act like they act, think like they think, do what they do. And in a certain sense, just putting on the mask that everyone else wears or wants me to wear makes me look most like everybody else. Neither of those two are correct. Akash Baruch, I believe, wants us to balance between, on one hand, individuality, being myself, and on the other hand, identifying, connecting with all of Yisrael as a whole. One of the best ways to notice differences is to look at the differences between Americans and Kutzik in general, even more Americans, but Kutzik in general, and the Israelis. Remember the first time I came to Israel, it was before they had these big, huge conveyor belts that they wore in. They had a very small one, and every single person putting his elbow in front of the guy in front of it, everywhere I was trying to be as close as possible to the conveyor belt. Regardless of whether baggage was coming, there was like this desire to push themselves in front. And I remember in America, it's the exact opposite. You just sit back and you wait. However, the difference is, in Israel, a person misses their bag, there's 15 people jumping to try to help the guy who missed their bag get their bag. In America, he's pretty polite until it goes around another time. In a certain sense, Israel, everyone's a bunch of brothers. That's what you do with your brother. You fight, you squabble, you pick, you put your arms in front of them. Everyone the whole place behaves, the whole family. Kutzer, it's your polite. You wait back and there's someone needs help. Listen, you may want to do them a favor, but it's not because you owe it to him. Doesn't do them a favor. No one in Israel thought twice about doing a favor. That's what you do. My brother needs a favor. You should do it. And a chutzah, the person says, hey, I'm a nice guy. I'll do something nice. But it's an action of doing it. In a certain sense, the Israelis feel much more of a sense of nationalism, a sense of collectivism. You speak to them, you ask them whose shear they're in, they'll tell you shear bet. You speak to anyone in this shear, whose shear? You might have been reborn shear. The Israelis feel I'm a part of shear bet. The chutzah can feel I am looking to grow in a particular shear which will best challenge me. Who's right? The answer is both. On one hand, there's a value of growing as an individual. I want to force myself to be the best thinker, the most committed, the deepest, the most profound. I want to work on my Amor Hashem. I want to work on my religious growth. I want to work on my Midos. I want to work on my. But that's all it is. You're missing a tremendous amount. To really believe, as the Kuzari says, if one arm hurts, the other arm heals. To believe that mamish, every single Jew is your other arm. To connect, to feel a sense of identity, to feel a sense of Am Yisrael. Connection to Am Yisrael, not just as an individual. I remember with Rebbe alone one time in Detroit. The first couple of years, we used to fly into America to like speak with that yeshiva we're building. Oh, he didn't really know anything about America, so I kind of came with him and kind of showed him around, half the shofar, half a, the Rebbe helping him out. And I remember he was telling the story, he met some kid. And the kid, Nebuch, had a very difficult situation with him and his sister. Both lost both the parents one day in a car accident. The father and mother both died the same day in a car accident. The kid's like, I'm sure 12-year-old kids, but almost totally crushed. Imagine, you know? The aggregate there, it is, I don't remember the details. And the Rebbe Alon met the kid, and he was talking to the kid, and the kid liked Rebbe Alon or whatnot. And the kid sent a letter to Rebbe Alon afterwards, sent the following message. One friend and I had a mom and a dad. I no longer do. All I have is Am Yisrael. And Rebbe Alon read that letter to the kids in Detroit, and the kids all wanted that. The kids of their own initiative to Detroit. They were sweet kids, good kids, motivated kids, really nourished. They all wrote letters and were sorry about your parents, we feel really bad. They sent them letters, and they got all these letters in English and pictures and whatnot to these kids. This is like a nice thing to know that some Jews in the other world care about you. Rebbe Alon said, I want you to know, I am so unbelievably impressed with their own initiative that they decided to write letters. However, they totally missed the point of what the kids were saying. The kids were saying, I lost my mom and dad, I have answer. Detroit, they don't understand what it means to feel part of a nation. And that what they meant was my only family is Kleistra. And the kids in Detroit, it's loud out for Detroit, just didn't feel it. We don't feel Am Yisrael is our family. Israelis really feel it. They feel, this is my family. Israel is not just a country. I live in it, it's my home, it's my house. The Jew up the street, down the street is my brother. And again, the message is really twofold. Number one is it's individualism. The twofold, one is a sense of collective to feel part of something. Number two is specifically on this one. Not just to be an individualistic guy who's so creative and so individualistic and so much of an individual becomes a freak. To identify with something. If the only thing you identify with is not identifying with something else, who are you? And if you have no creative nature and you just identify with whatever is thrown at you, what are you? There's this balance on one hand of rethinking who you are, and on the other hand, retaining a certain sense of mainstream. I think it's true in terms of how we place ourselves and how we define ourselves and how we look at ourselves and how we perceive ourselves, as well as in terms of religious growth. I was actually talking to Daniel about this last night, and I was thinking, I didn't plan to see how that was spoke about, but the next Nakuda, the cross we spoke about last night reminded me now. We're talking about different types of religious growth. We had a conversation why people learn Gemara. I think the answer is several fold. The Gemara is intellectually challenging, and the meat is a chazal, and it's dinim, and all sorts of reasons. But I believe, my mother used to tell me she tries to raise us children with roots and with wings. I wanted to plant our feet deep in the ground, to be committed, to be grounded, and then you have to be dreamers, to have vision, to have aspiration, to have ambition. Well, Marshall, if you had, On one hand, you have to have wings. The other hand, you have to have roots. Usually, you know what type of learning creates wings? Tanakh, Machshava, Hashkafa, Bichot, philosophy, ideology, maybe Moser. Moser actually is a Bichot. It teaches you how to think. It teaches you how to see beyond. What creates frumkeit and starkness and intensity and grounding you? Gemara and a little bit of Halakha as well. You look at the Haredi world, they're much more well-grounded than most of the communities we come from. And it's not by chance, they're much more into Gemara, both in their high schools, as well as in their lives, etc., etc. We come from different backgrounds. We value, the communities we come from usually value philosophy and depth of thought and sophistication and having a profound perspective, appreciating larger, broader values which create wings and depth and of depth of perspective and breadth, but not planning it deep into the ground. That's how I created have depth, we have breadth. The goal is to really grow with both, not sacrifice any one of them. If I had to choose one, Lamashla, it's like a tree. If you have a tree with roots and with no beautiful branches, it's not going to look ugly, but it's going to live. If you have a tree with beautiful leaves and flowers, but it has no roots, it's going to blow over. If I had to choose, I'd much rather plant my feet deep in the ground. But we're actually hard to choose. We can balance between individualism and individual thought and freedom of thought and openness and sophistication and feeling as an individual. And on the other hand, feeling a sense of Klal Yisrael, feeling part of a community, identifying with Am Yisrael, with Jewish values, a sense of collectivism, planting my feet deep. I was once talking to a Talmud who says he feels torn because on one hand he wants to identify with the word Shtark, on the other hand he doesn't want to. They don't want to have the baby with the bathwater. There are beautiful connotations to the word Shtark. It means you're intense, it means you're committed, it means you're full, it means you care about our mitzvah first and foremost. Unfortunately, some of the pejorative connotations, some of the pejorative, aspects are condescending, embedded in doubt. Okay, fine, so don't let the baby with the bad water. Keep the good, filter out the good from the bad, stick to well. And that's how it feels like I'm nervous. I don't know if I'll call myself sophisticated. What's the value of being sophisticated? Why should I be sophisticated? Are you crazy? Just because some sophisticated thinkers are not well-grounded, just because some sophisticated thinkers don't have their feet planted in the ground, and they're more sophisticated than religion, they end up working the way off of the world of kfirah, who knows what, doesn't mean that sophistication is not a value. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a sophisticated being, he wrote a sophisticated book, and if you want to appreciate it on a real level, you got to be sophisticated. The Gemara we learn, the Tanakh we talk about, the Hashgacha we speak about, the Machshava we invest in, hopefully it's done on a sophisticated level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a very sophisticated being. And therefore, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha to Avram's children may not have been merely about up high and down low, whether the enemies can get you, stomp on you, or can't reach you. But hashkafically, the values of Am Yisrael, on one hand to stand as a yachid, and the other hand to be part of a rabbi. To stand as an individual, to think as an individual, to be an individual, and to not let anything compromise on that, as well as to feel part of a society, to feel part of a community, to feel part of an Am. And not compromising that either. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zocha in our endeavors in both of these areas. It's the best secret and trick. In order to accomplish this balance properly, is to know where you're going. You're not going to get there without a map. If you don't value both, if you don't understand both, it's very, very unlikely for you to find the proper balance between them. And therefore, I guess, really our mission, our challenge is twofold. Level number one is to understand this balance, and level number two is to achieve it, to accomplish it. How much have a chance?